Welcome to the Bethel Mennonite Church Sunday Worship Podcast, and thanks for tuning in. I'm Pastor Jordan Farrell. As we begin our podcast today, I want to acknowledge that right now, life feels a bit strange. Listening to a podcast is not the same as gathering together in the same space so that we can share in the songs and prayers of our faith together. Dropping off groceries on someone's doorstep is not the same as breaking bread together. Yet we are committing ourselves to practices of physical distancing and to social solidarity, because right now they are some of the most critical ways that we can love our enemies, love our neighbors, and love one another. Right now, washing your hands and offering a listening ear to someone who is wrestling with anxiety or someone who is caught in the spiral of loneliness and isolation, well, these are acts of God's shalom. These are acts of well-being, of wholeness, and peace. I want to encourage us to continue being people who seek to follow Jesus together, and to continue being people who seek to live the way of God's shalom in our daily lives, even when it feels a little strange, even when it takes the form of tuning into a podcast instead of gathering in the same physical space for worship. So thank you for your grace and for your patience, and for your courage as we navigate this new reality together. On today's podcast, we're going to have some music, hear from Service Adventure one more time, share a few stories about our Care Connect ministry, and hear a short sermon from our Associate Pastor of Youth, Colin Roynan. But first, here's Jerry Martin with a few announcements and our call to worship.
Hello, Bethel community. Let's start with just a couple of reminders. Pastor Jordan will have virtual office hours on Monday and will facilitate a Bible study on Wednesday. See email communication about that or call him directly. Would it be an understatement to say this has been a strange and crazy week? My work as a manufacturer's sales rep was just a whirlwind. Information changed by the hour. I really didn't know what to tell my customers. Some of us are fortunate to have jobs at this point, but also have to go to places more prone to virus exposure. Some of us do not have jobs and wonder how to pay the bills. Others are somewhere in between. All of us ask, will someone in my circle be among the percentage who get seriously ill? It's a season of intense change and unknown, and we're all looking for answers, assurance, wisdom. So let's hear the words of Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Our prayer today is from the book Daily Prayer by Padraig O Tama. It's called Prayer in Changing Times. God of yesterday, we knew you then. Your promises, your words, your walking among us. But yesterday is gone. And so today, we are in need of change. Change and change us. Help us see life now, not through yesterday's stories, but through today's. Amen.
Hello, this is Brian Miller at the Service Adventure House again this week. Since our last podcast, we found out that the National Service Adventure Houses are all closing down. So Carissa Mast will also be leaving us this week, and Cindy will be shuttering the house when everybody leaves. So we thought we'd have a quick talk with Carissa before she heads out. Hello, Carissa.
Hi.
One of the things I was wondering was, what kind of work were you doing here in Colorado Springs last year?
Yeah. I was working at Family Promise, helping in the office, and then also assisting our executive director part-time.
Did you enjoy that work?
Yes, I did enjoy it.
What did you learn while you were here, living in a household with other young people and also working in probably an environment you weren't used to?
I think the most impactful thing that I learned at my work placement was just from talking to people that were going through homelessness and seeing the factors that contributed to that.
What are you headed for after you get home?
I'm going back to Goshen, Indiana, where I'm from, and I'll be working at my aunt and uncle's farm this summer, and then in the fall I'll be going to Goshen College.
Sounds fun. I wish you luck.
Thank you.
And now we're going to talk to Cindy, the leader of the Service Adventure household. Cindy, what have you really enjoyed about your group this year?
Everything, the fun that we have together, the laughs, the how close we became. I've been close to all of my groups, but it's been a great year.
How many years have you served here already?
This is my third year and my last year.
Any idea of where you're headed after this?
I have no idea. I joke that I don't know what I want to be when I grow up yet. So yeah, you guys all can pray for me for that, to know where God wants me to be next, what he wants me to be doing, and how he wants me to serve him. So,
very good. We will pray for you as a community, for all of you. We hope your travels go well and you get back home safely.
Thanks.
And we also pray that you do grow up, Cindy. At different times of the year here at Bethel, we like to highlight one of our important ministries that serve both our congregation and our community. This Sunday, we focus on Care Connect, which provides a network of individuals who are directly involved with the day-to-day pastoral care of every household. They can help provide emotional, social, and spiritual support when needed. First up is Janet Crago, who helps lead this vital ministry.
Each person or family who has been attending Bethel regularly for 3 months or more has a Care Connect person assigned to them. At this time, we have 11 Care Connect team members. It's their job to stay in contact with each person or family group on their responsibility list. Care Connect team members have been reaching out to church members more frequently during this time of crisis for our nation and world. It's clearly a time of anxiety and stress for many people, but God is a mighty fortress. Our responsibility as Care Connect caregivers is to listen to your concerns. As all of us know, some things can't be fixed, so often we just listen. If there are ways we can help you make appropriate connections within our church, we're happy to do so. For example, during the coming weeks, if we could help by bringing grocery gift cards to you for purchasing groceries, let us know. Our hope is to be there for you if you're experiencing a loss or if you just need someone to talk to. Don't hesitate to call us. If you're in the hospital or going to the hospital, we'd like to know. No one in our church family should ever feel alone. The Care Connect team was established when our church leaders realized that our pastor was often stretched thin and he couldn't always be available for as many people as he needed and wanted to be. That doesn't mean, though, that he doesn't want to know when you're in crisis or need spiritual assistance. It only means that there are other people who also want to help. We love you and pray that all of you will be in God's care during this unusual time. Please pray for us as we try to be there for you.
This is Rhonda Ray. I serve on Care Connect. I agree wholeheartedly with Janet when she said, "No one in our church family should ever feel alone." It is a privilege to come alongside our Bethel congregants and share life together, the joys and the concerns. Galatians 6:2 says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." The way we reach out varies widely among our 11 Care Connect team members. We might run an errand for you, seek you out at donut time to see how life is going, send you a card on holidays or when you're having a health issue, stop by for a hospital or home visit, offer financial help if needed, send a text just to check in, grab coffee or lunch, try to get to know you better, or pray with or for you. I would say the prayer support is an essential and large part of what we do. I absolutely welcome and appreciate it when those on my list of contacts seek me out to share a prayer need. I think I speak for all of us on the team when I say that we are thankful for the trust placed in us and treasure the opportunity too, as we are told in another verse from Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, serve one another in love. If possible, I encourage you to reach out to your Care Connect contact when life takes a turn. Our lists are fairly full, and we wouldn't want to miss anything. It might be easy to assume everyone knows when something major happens, but perhaps we don't. We are here for you, so please don't hesitate to contact us. Serving on Care Connect is a wonderful way to get to know our congregation better and to develop the gifts of compassion and encouragement. I'm thankful this ministry exists to help see us all through life's challenges.
Hi, I'm Cindy Headings, and I'd like to share just a little bit about how my Care Connect person helps me feel like I'm part of the family at Bethel. My Care Connect person is Janet Crago, and she has made me feel welcome from the very beginning. I always get a note from her in my mailbox at church, on my birthday or holidays. She always makes it a point to connect with me at church and make sure that I'm doing okay and that the unit is doing okay. So I know that everybody at Bethel cares. But it's great to have this system in place that is a purposeful way to make sure that everybody is taken care of. And I greatly appreciate it, and I greatly appreciate Janet.
It is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions break them. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath to cheer and to tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning.
This is Rhonda Ray, and I will be reading Mark 14, verses 1 through 11, from the New Revised Standard Version, with subheads. The Plot to Kill Jesus. It was 2 days before the Passover and the Festival of Unleavened Bread. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. For they said, "Not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people." The Anointing at Bethany. While he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar, a very costly ointment of nard, and she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, "Why was the ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her." Judas agrees to betray Jesus. Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. When they heard it, they were greatly pleased and promised to give him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. May God bless the reading of this word.
Well, this is certainly a different experience. It feels strange to preach a message into a computer, so I'm still wearing a tie, and my daughter set up their stuffed animals in a congregation so that I can preach to them. The only problem is I don't think that they'll laugh at my jokes. Johann Sebastian Bach is a name that we are all familiar with. Bach is synonymous with some of the greatest pieces of classical music. But during his life, Bach did not receive the notoriety that we would expect he did. Many thought his music was old-fashioned. He had some successes, but was mostly forgotten 50 years after his death, with the rise of composers like Mozart and Haydn. Bach composed for the love of music, and also the love of scripture. It is said that at one point he announced his life's purpose was well-regulated church music to the glory of God. I certainly like the sound of that. Bach was motivated to compose great pieces by his love of music. In the passage for this morning, we find Jesus reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper. That's in itself is pretty interesting, isn't it? Was Simon currently a leper? Was he healed by Jesus? And a leper's home was not a place that one should be going. We could focus on the social implications of that, but we'll leave that for another day. A woman comes into the room and anoints Jesus' head with some expensive perfume. Those who are present aren't real thrilled, but Jesus informs them that they are wrong. That's a pretty familiar story, isn't it? Let's look a little closer at the woman, those present, and Jesus' response. The woman here is unnamed. I find that an interesting parallel to the passage from last week where an unnamed woman gave out of her poverty. Timothy Gedert connects the two stories this way in his commentary on the book of Mark. The issue of wealth and poverty is clearly addressed in both texts. Both stories of women who sacrificially give, both times the gift, could be considered a waste. The woman in our text for this morning brings in an expensive jar of perfume and anoints the head of Jesus. And not with just a few drops, but breaks the jar and uses it all. It was a custom to pour a few drops of perfume on a guest when they arrived at the house or sat down for a meal, but this woman broke the jar. Why break the jar? There was another custom that if a glass was used by a distinguished guest, it was broken, so that it would never again be touched by the hand of a lesser person. Whether or not these things were on her mind, we can only guess. But this act represented more than customs to honor distinguished guests. When someone became king in ancient Israel, they were anointed. In 1 Samuel 10:1, we read, "Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, 'Has not the Lord anointed you leader over his inheritance?'" And then in 1 Samuel 16:13, Samuel anoints David. "So Samuel took a horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers, and from that day on the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power." Many of Mark's listeners and readers would have recognized this symbol as a symbol of God's anointed leader for the people, their new king. This passage comes after the triumphant entry. So Jesus entered Jerusalem as a king of peace, riding on a donkey, and now he is anointed king. In Jesus' response to the anointing, we see another meaning. Jesus says, "She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial." It was customary for bodies to be bathed and anointed with perfume. After this, the flask that contained the perfume was broken, and the fragments of glass were laid in the tomb. The woman may not have meant to anoint his body for burial, but Jesus calls it a beautiful thing that she did. It was an act done out of love and was an extravagant outpouring of that woman's love for the body of Jesus. This teaches us another aspect of God's shalom. There's a physical aspect to God's shalom, to God's peace, to God's wholeness. This woman took care of the body of Christ. We too can take care for the body of Christ through the care and love that we show to one another. But there were some detractors in the story, weren't there? The passage says that those who were present objected to this act. Though it doesn't say the disciples specifically, it's a pretty safe assumption that they were among those present. They rebuked her because she had wasted all this perfume. They could have sold it for more than a year's wages and given it to the poor. These folks seem to be implying that something useful could have been done with this instead of this waste of resources. As Mennonites, we may have had the same thought. Good stewardship, simplicity, and maximizing our resources have long been hallmarks of Mennonites. The people witnessing this could have been thinking about all the other good that could have been done with a more responsible use of resources. And perhaps the disciples had in their heads the rich young man who had approached Jesus in Mark 10 and asked how to inherit eternal life. The final step that Jesus gave to that man was to sell all that he had and give it to the poor. It's a logical step to think that Jesus would have preferred that this perfume of great value be sold and that money given to the poor. So imagine the disciples' confusion when they suggest that is what they should do, and Jesus says that she did what was right and that her act would be remembered. Just when they thought they had something figured out with Jesus, Jesus adds to the picture. Jesus defends the woman's anointing and calls it a good or beautiful thing. There were two words in Greek that could mean good. The first word focuses on the rightness of action, the other on the beauty of an action. It's the second word that's used here. Gedert says, The woman did not pause to seek moral justification for her action. She simply expressed her devotion to Jesus. But Jesus adds to what her action means. She did this beautiful act while she could. When Jesus talks about the poor always being with you, it's not a forget the poor, they can wait statement, but rather Jesus points out that the opportunity to minister to Jesus will not last all that long, and this woman has picked the right time to do so. She also, unknowingly, prepared Jesus' body for burial. Overall, Jesus is getting at the heart of her action. She did not do it because of the rightness of it, or because she should. She did it out of love for Jesus. She expressed her devotion with what she had, and she gave it to the full. What she did was radical. Craig Evans, in his commentary of Mark, says it this way: in one of the most poignant stories in the Gospels, we witness an act of remarkable generosity, devotion, and faith on the part of the woman who anointed the head of Jesus with an ointment that was worth a small fortune. William Barclay simply calls this a story of love's extravagance. Can we act as the woman did? She had the physical presence of Jesus. How do we show our devotion and extravagant love towards Jesus? How do we do something so radical? As I said earlier, part of God's shalom has to do with our physical bodies. And when we care and show love for one another and for all of God's people, we are doing so for the body of Christ. Mennonites love acronyms, right? We have MCUSA, Mennonite Church USA, MCC, Mennonite Central Committee, MMN, Mennonite Mission Network, and loads of others. And here at Bethel, we are not exempt from the acronyms. We have BLT, Bethel Leadership Team, YMT, Youth Ministry Team, and a lot more. As I was thinking and praying this week about this passage and sermon, an acronym came to mind: RADICAL. Random acts done in compassion and love. I also like the tie to Anabaptism, as a movie about the early Anabaptists is called The Radicals. By being this kind of radical, we are showing the extravagant love and devotion that we have to Jesus. In our current circumstances, it might seem like a challenge to express that love for each other. But I think, though certainly not what we would prefer, this opens the doors for us to give and receive God's love in new and creative ways. Care Connect has really taken the lead on this. They sprung into action to care for others through phone calls, being available for grocery runs, and working to help meet people's needs. We've all been given the opportunity to share with people through the establishment of Shalom Partners. And these are just a couple of things happening here at Bethel. There are many other ways that we can care for the greater body of Christ. We may not be able to be in physical proximity to one another, but we are certainly able to continue in love and care for the body of Christ. This could be as simple as the way we interact on social media or the way we use our current extra time at home. I came across a song by one of my favorite bluegrass bands, Daly and Vincent, just after Governor Polis announced a statewide stay-at-home. It was a song called No Place Love Won't Go. It was a reminder to me that no matter what the restrictions we have, we can still share the love of Christ with each other because there is absolutely nothing that stops the love of Jesus. Bach was motivated to create beautiful music by his love of music and scripture. His works like Mass in B minor show the beauty that came out of his act of love. The woman in our scripture today did something beautiful because she acted out of her love for Jesus. Like Bach and the woman in our scripture, we can create something beautiful. We can add beauty and color to this earth when we act out of our love and devotion to Jesus. Like the early Anabaptists, we can be radicals when we do random acts done in compassion and love. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for the love that you have for each of us, a love that we are compelled to reflect back to you and to those around us. We are in a time of physical separation from each other, but that does not limit our ability to share your love. There is truly no place, digital or physical, that your love cannot go. Help us to seize the opportunities that come our way to be radical. Amen.
As we wrap up our Sunday Worship podcast this week, I want to thank everyone who helped put it together. Thanks to Jerry Martin for being our worship leader, Carissa and Cindy for sharing about service adventure, Rhonda Ray for reading scripture, Janet and Rhonda for sharing about the ministry of Care Connect, Lauren, Barbara, Dave, and Dale for music, Pastor Colin for preaching, Roger Weaver for equipment setup, Mixmaster Fresh, Brian Miller for working on the production elements, and to you all for tuning in. I invite you now to receive these ancient words of blessing from the Book of Numbers. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord's presence embrace you and give you peace. Amen.